Sunday Tama Talk.
Good morning and happy days, friends and listeners. Today we bring you another engrossing Sunday Dharma Talk by renowned Venerable Prajñāvisit. Venerable Prajñāvisit, or as he is called by close laypersons, Lungpa, is one of Thailand's most revered meditation masters, Buddhist scholars, and educators. Now on his second term as National Coordinator of the Provincial Meditation Institutes of Thailand, he is also the deeply beloved abbot of Wat Luang Pho Sot Dhammakayaram in Damdern Saduak District of Ratchaburi Province. The Venerable Prajñāvisit has received honorary doctorates from both Mahajulalongkorn Ratchavithyalay University and Mahamukut University. Last year, he was also bestowed with the Gold Award for Outstanding Contribution to the Dissemination of Buddhism by the Parliamentary Committee on Religion, Arts, and Culture. I'm Sakrapan Yemakdun from Thailand, and I will be your moderator today. Good morning, Venerable Prajñāvisit. Welcome back. This is our 50th consecutive Sunday Dharma Talk. We anticipate more of your profound insights. Could you please begin by reviewing our last discussion?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to you. Last time, our broadcast was on the election day. I gave the Thai people and our listeners some advice on how to pick a good candidate, as well as the qualifications of a good candidate. The main discussion centered on good governance and the seven Sabburisadhamma virtues of a noble individual. Those two discussions give people a clear picture based on the famous phrase, "The worthiness of men depends on achievements. The value of work depends on well-organized management." These were the topics of our last broadcast.
Thank you very much, Venerable Sir, for your concise summary. Now, we are in the season of Buddhist Lent, which began on July 16th. Lent also affects the lifestyle of many Thais. Many Thai people take this opportunity during the three-month period of Lent to observe five or eight precepts, and some, for example, may just quit drinking during this Lent period. Is what they are doing just a cultural relief or good Buddhist practice?
This is a very good question. It can be a belief for an individual. However, Buddhism itself is neither a belief nor philosophy, but Buddhism is a Dhamma practice that provides a practitioner to collect data from the sufficient, reliable, valid, and relevant sources. A practitioner is able to develop right wisdom and to understand the way of life of oneself and other thoroughly, namely comprehending the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths make Buddhist teachings stand out because these truths have never been found in other religions. They are suffering, the causes of suffering, the cessation of suffering or nibbana, and finally, the path leading to the cessation of suffering. The fourth truth specifically is widely known as the middle way. To make my statement more understandable and concise, I would like to refer to the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta in Pali Canon. Lord Buddha taught us about the middle way as follows. Monks, these two extremes ought not to be practiced by one who has gone forth from the household life. What are these extremes? First, there is addiction to indulgence of sense pleasures. This is the way of low and coarse people, unworthy and unprofitable. And then there is the addiction to self-mortification, which is painful, unworthy, and unprofitable. Avoiding both these extremes, the Tathagata, the perfect one, had realized the middle path. It gives vision, gives knowledge, and leads to calmness, to insight, to enlightenment, and to Nibbana. And what is that middle path realized by the Tathagata? It is the Noble Eightfold Path and nothing else. The Noble Eightfold Path are right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration.
Thank you, sir. The topic becomes more interesting. Could you now please tell us how the great Bodhisattva developed the Eightfold Path to achieve enlightenment? What methodology did he use?
After practicing the extreme of self-mortification for 6 years, the pre-Buddha or Bodhisattva learned that the only way to become enlightened is practicing the middle path. On the night of Vaisakha, the sixth lunar month, 2,599 years ago, he sat down under the Bodhi tree and resolved not to get up until he achieved enlightenment. At that time in India, the night was divided into 3 4-hour watches, that is, period of guard duty. The first was from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. The middle watch was from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. Then the final watch was from 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. Lord Buddha's enlightenment developed in 3 stages, corresponding to these 3 watches.
And what did Lord Buddha see during the first watch?
During the first watch, Lord Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and concentrated his mind up to the 4th levels of absorption or jhana in order to remove all hindrances from his mind. His mind became firm and pure, very pure. In that state of mind, he could recall past lives, uncountable past lives, both his own past lives and the past lives of other beings. He could see all world beings, human beings, animals, hungry ghosts, demons, celestial beings, Brahman beings, and formless Brahman beings. He could see all beings in the whole universe. He saw that all of these beings were continually dying and then getting reborn again all the time, in endless reincarnation. This is what we call scientific research, using a very effective and efficient instrument, the firm and pure mind, to see with. He saw reality, natural reality. He saw that all of the world's beings are reborn right away, right after dying, and he saw that most of them are reborn into the suffering worlds, such as animals, hungry ghosts, demons, or hell beings. He saw all the many worlds of hell beings down in the lower depth of the universe. He saw that only very few get reborn in the happy worlds, such as the human world, celestial world, the Brahman world, or the formless Brahman world. This caused him to feel compassion for all beings. The Brahman world, or more correctly, the form Brahman world, corresponds to mental concentration on a physical object, such as a sphere, color, or candle flame. But formless Brahman meditators don't want to use anything as the base of the mind. They just want to stop still at the center of the center. This is formless absorption. Those who die, while their mind is concentrated at any level in the Brahman world or formless Brahman world, will be reborn in that world. these planes are above the central heavens. But Lord Buddha saw that even these very few highly fortunate beings, when they eventually die, are born right back into the system again, and in most cases can be reborn into the suffering worlds. In conclusion, during the first watch, Lord Buddha saw the past. He saw what had led up to the present situation. He saw the whole universe with all its various types of beings, and that all of these beings are caught up in the endless cycle of death and rebirth. He saw that most beings will be reborn into suffering worlds, and this led him to feel great compassion for all beings.
And then, what did Lord Buddha see during the second watch?
After seeing this endless cycle of death and rebirth, during the first part of the night, Lord Buddha felt eager to learn what caused these beings to be reborn in either suffering or happy worlds. So, in the second watch, he again meditated up to the fourth absorption or jhana, concentrating his mind to purify it from hindrances. When his mind was very firmly concentrated and very pure, he made a wish to follow individual beings from the past, through the present, and into the future. This enabled him to see the cause and effect of past action or karma, leading to rebirth in either suffering or happy worlds. He saw five major causes of rebirth in the suffering worlds. Number one was intentionally killing other world beings. Number two was theft. Number three was adultery. Number four was telling lies. And number five was addiction to intoxicants. These were the major causes, but there were also others, such as careless sexual affairs, thinking only about sex, and engaging in sex while taking intoxicants. This is just an example. This is bad karma, action and reaction. For those who behave this way, he saw that many world beings who act improperly receive suffering as the result, either during the present life or after dying. Bad karma was the essential cause of being reborn into suffering worlds, the worlds of hungry ghosts, animals, demons, and hell beings. He saw that the hell beings, you must know that in this universe, there is not only what we see and hear with human senses. There are also many more refined beings existing in this universe, beings that ordinary humans cannot see, but he was able to see them in meditation by beginning with concentrating the mind and purifying it. He developed supernatural vision, supernatural hearing, and supernatural touch, which enabled his mind's eye to see. Thus, he saw the whole universe. The human world is just one little part of it. The universe has three levels. The first is the central world. The second is the form Brahman world. And the third is the formless Brahman world. The central world includes the happy worlds of human and celestial beings. There are six levels of celestial beings, and then human beings. Below that come the animals, but even those born into the happy worlds finally have to die, and most will be reborn into the suffering worlds. Very few are reborn into the happy worlds. Lord Buddha noted that the animals in the seas are countless in number. Most humans do a mixture of good and bad actions. However, there is a tendency to do bad karma unconsciously, because they are not aware that it is bad karma. For example, regarding taking intoxicants, Most people don't realize how serious the bad karma that occurs. Although a drink with a meal is widely accepted in most cultures, but for sure, those addicted to intoxicants will definitely go to hell when they die.
Finally, what did Lord Buddha see during the third watch?
During the third watch, pre-Buddha, now had all the reliable, valid, and pertinent information he needed. He obtained nearly perfect data through developing concentration of mind, leading to supernatural sight, hearing, and touch. Therefore, in the third watch, he developed concentration of mind up to the fourth jhana to analyze all data again. He found ignorance to be the root cause. Living in this world is like being in a dark room where we cannot see anything, or it's like a chicken inside the egg who never sees the outside. Ignorance means no knowledge of the past. You don't know where you have been before becoming a human being, right? Me too. Unless we meditate to see the past as pre-Buddha did. Also, we have no knowledge of the future. You don't know what will really happen in the future, even just for tomorrow, and especially after dying. But if we practice meditation, we can experience as Lord Buddha saw before us. He saw the past, and he saw the future, and he saw the past, the present, and the future together. Normal human beings have never seen this, have never known it. This is the first kind of ignorance. Second is no knowledge of the causes, down to the root cause of suffering. As in Lord Buddha's analysis of dependent origination. Finally, number three is no knowledge of the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths are 1. The noble truth of world being suffering. 2. The noble truth of causes and the root cause of suffering. 3. The noble truth of the possibility of no suffering, supreme peace and happiness, that is Nibbana. If you meditate to that state of mind, you can experience it for yourself. But most world beings will never meditate, never touch that level, will never know it. And 4 is the Noble Fold Path, leading to the cessation of the causes of suffering. Lord Buddha already saw the whole universe, above the universe and below the universe. He saw not only one universe, but countless universes. He even saw three universes together, like three circles drawn, touching each other. The area in between is the lowest level of hell, namely Lokantara hell. For those holding wicked and wrong beliefs, who perform and teach immoral behavior based on these misconceptions, like those who kill others with the belief that this will bring them to a happy state, this is a falsehood. This delusion is a serious sin that will cause them to be reborn in this deepest, darkest hell, Lokantara hell, beyond the universe. Lord Buddha's analysis of dependent origination showed that such delusion or ignorance is the root cause of sufferings. Those are no knowledge of the past, no knowledge of the future, no knowledge linking the past, the present, and the future. Hence, no knowledge of dependent origination or the Four Noble Truths. This ignorance causes false assumptions, misperceptions, and misconceptions. This leads to false belief, misstatements and misbehavior, such as violating the five precepts or engaging in apayamukha or the road to ruin, such as addiction to gambling or alcoholism, giving free rein to sexual feelings and intoxication of pleasure. All of this will result in suffering either in this life and or in the future, sooner or later, more or less. No one is exempt until and unless one refrains from further violations of the five precepts and turn towards making merit and doing good deeds. In conclusion, during the third watch, Lord Buddha analyzed the root cause underlying suffering and found it to be ignorance. He sought to overcome this by teaching the Four Noble Truths, including the Eightfold Path, as specific guidelines for leading one's life so as to minimize suffering and maximize happiness while purifying the heart and the mind. These were the lessons of enlightenment. Thus, to summarize, Buddhism is not philosophy, but practice through the scientific method of the three trainings, sila, disciplinary perceptions, samadhi, the concentration of the mind up to absorption level to purify practitioner's mind from hindrances, and panya, development of right wisdom in the Four Noble Truths. This lead to the cessation of root cause of suffering and to attain the purest state of mind, a mind that is free from any intoxicant and latent defilements, thus becoming a noble one up to the perfect one, reaching an everlasting existence of transcendence and nibbana with supreme happiness without suffering.
Thank you, Venerable Sir, for your very direct, powerful, and insightful teaching. Now could you please lead us in a few moments of meditation?
Now, we begin meditation. We sit upright in a regular meditation posture, cross-legged, as seen in some Buddha images, with the right leg resting upon the left, the right hand rests on the left, palm turned upwards, with the right index finger just touching the left thumb. The body is straight, and the mind is fully alert. Take a deep breath and relax the body until you feel comfortable. Close your eyelids lightly. Do not press them. We use two aids, a mantra, Samma Arahant, and an object of visualization, a bright, clear, luminous sphere called the Aloka Kasinya, or light object. Using these aids, we draw the mind inward to the center of the body, and the mind components of vision, memory, thought, and awareness come together into oneness. Imagine a bright, clear, luminous sphere located at the center of the body, 2 inches or 5 centimeters above the navel. Raise your mind inside the sphere and repeat Samma Arahant, Samma Arahant, Samma Arahant continually and mindfully. Look for the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. Focus your mind there, stop still. When the mind stops peacefully still at the center of the center expands itself and becomes a new sphere. Place your mind gently inside the new sphere. Look for the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. Place your mind there. Stop still. Eventually, a bright, clear sphere will arise. This is the Dhamma sphere. Do not be overjoyed. Keep your mind calm in equanimity. Hold the mind still and stop repeating Samma Arahant. Just concentrate at the center of the Dhamma sphere. This is your own nucleus, which gives rise to this body and this mind. You choose experience greatest happiness you have ever known, not happiness based on an external object, but happiness arising from within, due to being fully pure from the five hindrances. Now, let us take a moment to apply our calm concentration to contemplating the body as it really is. Take one hair from the top of your head. Bring it in to the center of the sphere at the center of the body. Examine it as if under a microscope. See the root of the hair. See how dirty they are, all covered with grease. Can you smell it? This is the real nature of the hair that we fuss over and prize so much. From now on, let us contemplate to see that the hair is subject to change, for example, from black to gray, which means anicca, and then it falls out, becomes impermanent, and causes suffering or dukkha. Finally, it scatters and no longer belongs to you or anybody else, anatta. Practice contemplating this back and forth to create the right wisdom that all compound things such as hair on the head and hair on the body, finger and toenails, the teeth in the mouth, and skin are all impure, subject to change or anicca, impermanent to come, and ultimately become non-self or anatta. This is an efficient method to develop the right wisdom to see compound things as they really are. This right wisdom helps to reduce sensual desire and attachment. Continue meditating as before by stopping still at the center of the center of the Dhamma sphere. When the concentration is just right, sphere after sphere pops up by itself from the center, each one inside the previous one. The spheres of sila or moral behavior, samadhi or concentration, panya or wisdom, vimutti or transcendence, and vimuttijan tasana or insight, appear one after the next. Enter each sphere successively and focus your mind still at the pinpoint of bright light or hollow spot at the center. When the mind stops still, a new sphere emerges. When you reach the inside sphere, you continue in the same way, stopping still at the center. Again, the center expands itself, but this time, instead of a new sphere, you see your own refined human body, sitting cross-legged in meditation position, facing the same direction as you are facing. Don't be startled. Just keep observing. It looks very much like yourself. It has your own face, but it is brighter, purer, and more radiant. It may even be crystal clear. Take your time to make the body and its pedestal bright and clear. When you feel comfortable with the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the refined human body. Expand to feel the whole body. Feel the body from the inside. Feel the arms, feel the legs, feel the head, feel the toes. Say to yourself, I am the refined human body. I have become the refined human body. I have the refined human mentality. When you feel comfortable inside the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the sphere at the center of the refined human body. Focus on the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. The center expands itself, and you see your celestial body. For those who reach this state of mind, go on with the same procedure as larger and larger, more and more radiant. Bodies appear, become each more refined body, one by one, until you reach Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya looks like a transparent Buddha statue, very radiant, very pure. The Buddha statue, sitting cross-legged, is about 9 meters in height and width. Become Dhammakaya fully, right way. And now let us share all of the merits that we have made in this meditation and previously, together with all of our loving kindness, with all beings everywhere throughout the universe, we share with our parents, our grandparents, our family, our teachers and our friends. We share with our king and our queen and the whole royal family. May Lord Buddha bless all of us to lead a peacefully happy life, free from suffering, free from problems, and free from enmity. And may this meditation help to bring us closer to transcendence and Nirvana. And now we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes. On the occasion of Her Majesty the Queen's upcoming birthday, may Lord Buddha bless Her Majesty the Queen long life and supreme happiness without problems and sufferings forever.
Sunday Dhamma Talk.